pray for heaven today, your kingdom to reign always, here on earth as in heaven. Yes, we pray for heaven here today. Tonight we want to praise and worship you for your goodness, your faithfulness to us as a church and to us as your people, as individuals. But we also want to press into what you have in store for us and your church, your people here, for the future. And so we pray, would your kingdom come? Would you continue to build your kingdom? And would you use us mightily for your purposes? Tonight we want to give you all the glory because you are good. You're mighty, and you are worthy of praise. Amen.
'Cause you are the everlasting God, the everlasting God, and you do not fade, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak, and you comfort those in need, and you lift us up on wings like eagles.
Sing strength arise.
Strength arises, we wait. Upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Oh God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting.
Have a seat. And happy birthday, Maybridge. Well, technically it's tomorrow, so, you know. Lovely to be with you all this evening. Lovely to have a room full of us on a weekday evening. It's going to be a great evening. It's got off to a great start, hasn't it? Thank you, band, for leading us so well. Yeah, it's the sort of evening we can be enthusiastic and make some noise. That's good. I just want to share, just to kick us off, I want to share a little bit about the church's history quite briefly, and then we're going to hear from a few different people from all different eras and points in the church's life. It's going to be great. But let me sketch out some of the history. For those who may not be aware of the history of Maybridge Community Church, in the late 1940s, a while ago, an elder at Worthing Tab called Dick Richardson came to look at the housing estate being built in North Goring that would become the Maybridge Estate. He was convicted that there was a need for a church on this new estate, and so a piece of land on the corner of Cavendish Close and the Strand, here, was permitted by the council. In 1952, Dick heard of an ex-army building which had been used as a wartime hospital, and it was moved from Alresford in Hampshire and rebuilt on this plot. That doesn't happen these days, does it? Took a while to come to fruition. In the meantime, a Sunday school of five children in a living room on Limbrick Lane was begun. Numbers began to grow, and soon moved to a Territorial Army hut on Chesterfield Road. On November 27th, 1954, Maybridge Free Church, as it was known, opened on this site, thanks to lots of generosity and God's provision. The building was meant to be temporary, but it lasted for nearly 40 years. The church grew, and the number of children quickly rose from 5 to about 100. This reduced a bit in the 1960s. More people had cars and more families would travel elsewhere. But Dick's prayer was that the church would be in use every day, and it was by the mid-90s when his daughter wrote a booklet about it, which I think you can find in the foyer. Dick led the church himself until it became necessary to pass it on to somebody else. He was succeeded by a man called Mr. Gibbons. I couldn't find his first name, so if anybody knows, do enlighten me later. And then from November 1980, the church was supported with leadership from Brian Goldsmith, who is with us this evening. We'll hear from him in a moment. And a man called William Pletz. In 1987, the church asked Worthing Tab for further support, and this led to the leadership of Hugh Hill in the late 80s and then Eric Harmer in the early 90s. It's quite nice, actually, this historical relationship we've had with the Tab, which continues to this day. In fact, Rich, who is the minister of the Tab, is with us this evening too, good friend of mine, and it's good to continue having good fellowship with you guys. In the early 90s, also, the church, as we now know it, was also built, followed by other parts of the building, the Whalen Room, the kitchen, and the offices upstairs about 10 years later. My predecessor, Andy Hickford, then led Maybridge through all sorts of changes from 1995, I believe, to 2019, but the church recovered. Jokes aside, those I think were wonderful years for the church. Lots of great stuff happened, lots of growth, lots of impacted people. And I had the privilege of becoming senior minister almost 5 years ago and was immediately greeted by something called COVID. So the church has changed a lot, even in my time. But ultimately, this is not a story about different leaders, but about Jesus. He's been faithful. For 70 years, this church has continued in all sorts of forms and styles. Loads of people have come to faith. People have been discipled. Lots of great community projects have helped people find support and connection. Meals have been put on tables. People have been built up and gone on to do wonderful things elsewhere. And even between every one of us in this room, we collectively don't know a fraction of everything that God has done through one expression of his people in one place. So let me pray, and then we'll hear from a few different people We're going to have a break after we've heard from maybe four or five people. We're going to have some refreshments, but we'll pray before that too. But let me pray now. Father God, as we gather this evening and see old friends and reminisce and worship, let us not lose hold of the person that church, all church, is for. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that your Son died for us and everything was made through him and for him. Thank you that your Spirit empowers us and changes us to serve him. We want to glorify you by hearing about what you've done through your people. Let us be encouraged by what you've done in the lives of real people over many decades, but more than that, be provoked to greater worship. Give us ears to hear and hearts to find joy. Amen. So the first person we're going to hear from, Brian Goldsmith. So Brian, we just met this evening, but if you'd come and join me, that would be wonderful. Good sentiment. You should be a minister with that sort of theology. Very good. well, lovely to have you with us. So you led the church in the early 1980s.
So, a lot of information on this. Church on the Strand. Did you get that?
The booklet at the back, The Little Church on the Strand, has more detail. But we'd love to hear from you just for a few moments about what the church was like and how God encouraged you in those years. Please use the mic.
Well, I give away any dates. It dates me because I'm 88 at the moment. My daughter had to correct me the other day because I calculated I was probably 89. She said, "You're not 89, Dad. You're 88. So daughters have their place. But the Lord has been so good to me down through the years. We started off in South America, in Bolivia, with the Andes Evangelical Mission. That was a pioneer mission, supported only by God's people. We didn't have a stipend at that time. And God has been pleased to use me in Bible teaching and all sorts of different ways, evangelism in the country. And sometimes that meant trying to tackle Quechua. The main language is Spanish, but some of the people are Quechuistas or Aymaristas. And so my first beginnings in Bolivia were to learn the language. Y por eso hablo español y no tanto el inglés. I speak more Spanish than English, I think.
We didn't think we'd be learning Spanish this evening. This is a good development.
Yeah, it's a pity we can't translate some of this stuff into Spanish. I could do that. Some of my stuff is out there. Don't want to keep on talking about myself, but I've done quite a bit of work for CPO, Christian Publishing Organization. Bob Bonds will know all about this because I helped in some of the translation of that stuff. The Day That Changed the World, for example. El Día Que Cambió el Mundo. So God's been so good to me. Every step I've taken, he's been there. He's gone before me, and I praise his name.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here this evening. Yeah, if that's okay. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. Thank you for what you sowed into this church and this place back in those days. It was God's calling, and he used it clearly because the church has seen many great days ever since then. So thank you. And me too. Yeah. Good to have you with us. Thank you. Towards the end of the 1980s, as mentioned before, the minister here was Hugh Hill, who sadly passed away just about a week or two ago, we heard. But Phil found a video of him from way back talking about his call here. And I think you were then going to just share an excerpt from his book as well, is that right? We're just showing the video. Okay, so this is Hugh Hill, I believe, at the Tab years ago, talking about his call to this church.
Let me just say hello. It's nice to be home. It's good. The 1990 story of Maybridge, and of course myself, really began back in 87, when the 14 members of Maybridge came to Tony and the elders and said, would you help us? They said yes, and Ron Whelan took up this, with Daphne, took up this position to hold the fort. At the same time, I got the call to the ministry, and this was confirmed by the elders of the TAB. And Tony, after prayer and a very bold move, said, we'll give Maybridge to Hugh to look after as he goes to Bible college. I think Tony's reasoning was on the basis that with only 14 members, he can't do much damage. I spent 2 years at London Theological Seminary, and in 1990, I was ordained into the ministry here at the TAB, and then took over full-time at Maybridge as pastor. Well, Bible college, they can teach you systematic theology, and they did. They can give you a love and a knowledge of the Bible, and they did, and I thank God for every moment of it. But they cannot teach you to be the pastor of a church. That I had to learn from Tony Sargent. You know, Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you.
Amazing to see, and especially poignant, as I said, given that he passed away very, very recently. Someone like to just pray and thank God for Hugh's legacy here? Just spontaneous, just go for it, somebody. Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to stand on the stage. It's not you yet. Sorry, honey. I did tell him I'm getting up first, and he's like, I'm standing on the stage because I'm a bit short. I'm just going to briefly ask for a Maybridge welcome for Eric and Sarah Harmer, who are in the room with us this evening. Their ministry followed Hugh's, and we had the privilege of being here while Eric and Sarah were here. I have just some very brief memories of Eric and Sarah. I'm particularly grateful for the lead you gave in evangelism. It was very successful here. I also, both Michael and I were saying, you were just demonstrated faith so well to us. You had such faith in God. You also oversaw the building of this building, not the back one, which I know was difficult at times, but I mean, what a wonderful legacy to have done that. But last of all, I so remember your humour, and I'm so grateful that we laughed and laughed as well as you pointed us to God. So we're so very grateful. Thank you very much, Eric and Sarah.
Thank you for that, Gay. And then coming a little closer to the present, Andy Hickford. Oh, my goodness. So, is that from when you were in Bross? So I asked Andy if he would just share for a few moments about his time here. I want you to notice, Andy, I've put here from Andy Hickford 5 minutes on my little plan for the evening. So over to you.
Well, good evening, everybody. So for 23 years of the 70 years we're celebrating, I was the senior pastor here. And nobody knows the trouble I saw. What do I want to say on an occasion like this? I first want to pay my own tribute to my predecessor, Eric, who by sheer power of example had taught the church, it is never about us. It is always about people finding Jesus. It is always about what happens outside of this building, not inside it. And I was so grateful for that legacy, Eric. Thank you. I'm also very grateful for my successor. It is a significant challenge to stay faithful to God's word and engage our changing culture. And this man does it brilliantly. So I'm grateful to them. In my 23 years, I had the privilege of building teams and being involved in team ministry. And that was an enormous privilege. And the last team that I left here was the best team I ever worked with. And even to today, I still miss the dynamic of that. I even sometimes miss the abuse they used to give me. But and so to, you know, Phil and Shirley, perhaps I saw Phil last night. They would wish they could be here tonight, but can't be. But Phil and Shirley, to Matt, to Becca, to Joe, to Ruth, to Gay, to Julie. It was just this, Linda, it was just this wonderful team, and I count it a privilege to have been involved in it. I got to serve alongside some amazing people. Many of you don't remember Michael Romilly, but he was just incredibly impactful on my life. The legendary Martin Castle. My life will always be enriched by the witness of that man. Oh, man, could he be stubborn. I used to try and... He was just so godly and holy, and I'd go with a really carefully prepared argument, and then he'd just lean across the table, put his hand on mine, the lovely warm smile, say, "Andy, once again, you're overestimating your powers of persuasion." It was just fantastic to work with. And then I, as a young pastor, I got to pastor people like Ron and Daphne Wayland. I mean, you know, great saints. Just an enormous privilege. When Rick Warren recently retired from Saddleback Church, he was passing on to the next leader. And he had a whole load of symbols of what it means to be a senior minister in a church. And so he had a shepherd's croft and shepherd's, whatever that thing's called. Thank you. And he had a Bible, of course, and he had, you know, the sacraments, bread and wine. And the last thing he had was this massive, great big spade. And he said to the entire church, thousands of people, he said, "You're probably wondering why I've got a spade." He said, "Because most of the time as a senior minister, you just spend it scooping poop." And I thought, that's it. I spent 23 years. Oh, my word. And you know, all the pain and the heartache and the grief and the falling out and the argue, all of that stuff comes to a pastor's desk, doesn't it? And not all of it is a joy, I'm telling you. But you come to trust, actually, that through it all and in all the mess and the confusion of it, God still works out his purposes and that he is at work in every situation for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I think Keris and I would want to say to the church that we're enormously grateful that when we came here as a young couple, we could bring up our family at Maybridge. We were not a perfect family. Anybody who remembers Isaac at the Christmas carol service will tell you all about that. And yet you loved us and you cherished us and you gave us space to be a family. It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a church to raise a Christian, and we're so grateful that our family grew up here. Never more so than at Elsie's Thanksgiving, when after 23 years of pastoring here, we came to be pastored by a congregation. And you were literally scaffolding to us as a family that day, and I don't have the words to express how forever grateful we are to this community for supporting us on that journey. The last thing I want to say is this, and it comes from Isaiah. After all these 23 years here and all the glorious memories and the privilege it has been to serve here, what do I want to say tonight? Simply this: forget the former things. God is doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it? Forget the former things. It is a deep conviction of mine that the grace of God means that the future can always be better than the past. One of the tragedies of the Western church is there's lots of people sitting in a congregation wishing it was 1980 again. But guess what? Jesus is the Lord of history and time. He goes ahead of us. He calls us forward. We can be confident because the future is his. And so I would simply say tonight, in all humility, forget the former things. Eric and I and the rest of us, we love being here, but forget the former things. God's doing a new thing. And his grace means that the future can always be better than the past. So to him who is able, what's that prayer from Ephesians 3 right at the end? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever.
Thank you, Andy. And can I just say, stepping into your shoes in some ways was very, very challenging. Big shoes to fill. But in other ways, it was made a lot easier because you were so supportive and helpful to me, even in ways behind the scenes that people wouldn't see. But also what you helped, is a lot in large part built here over many years, made leading this church easier than it would have been in many contexts. So we're all very thankful to you for that. And I would just say, like others have said, I do love my job. I love being part of this church. To me, leading the church is one thing, but being part of the church is wonderful. I'd want to be part of this church even if I wasn't on the staff team. I think it's great here. I sometimes think those who've been at Maybridge for a long time don't realise how good it is. Like, I've seen some other churches. It's pretty good here. We're not perfect, but it's pretty darn good here, and that's thanks to God and thanks to the, everybody who helps make it what it is. So thank you to all of you within that too. It's not just about ministers. Gay and Michael, if you'd like to come back up. Michael, you are supposed to come up this time, okay? You are supposed to come up. Gay and Michael have been part of the furniture for Maybridge in all sorts of ways for a really long time, and you've had as much influence as anybody in making this church what it is. And I know that you, well, Gay was very keen to share something this evening, and Michael, you got asked to do it as well. Yeah. So over to you.
Okay, I'm on now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, this is just the story of my life. It's just muddle and confusion sort of sorted out by my wife. But Gay and I first came here to Maybridge back in 1990. So I guess that means we've shared almost half that journey of 70 years. So I guess that's why we're just sort of up here. The congregation, it was small, it was vibrant. We came in the days of Hugh Hill, who we heard that little video clip from. They were a very mixed bunch. Actually, it's great. Some of us, you know, from those old days are still here, and some folks have been here at the church longer than we have. So that's great. But they were young and old, they were sort of experienced prayer warriors, and they were sort of newer Christians and people with all sorts of problems from the community. And one of the things that drew us to this church is we wanted a church that had a vision for its local community. And it's exciting for us that that's still one of the strands of our vision now. The church was under a different name then, as has been mentioned. How many people are familiar with the letters FIEC? Oh, quite a lot, yes. The Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. It's an affiliation that's still going on strong now with 600-odd members. But some time ago, Maybridge sort of disaffiliated from them. And we've always been a self-governing church. I don't know what you think about that. Is that a good thing for a church to be part of a larger denomination with the accountability and support that provides? Or is it outweighed by the advantages of not being tied down by a bureaucracy? But we've always been an independent church. The church is probably broader theologically than it used to be. I'm personally very comfortable with that, but it's good to be thoughtful about that. Just also to think about how do we connect with the rest of God's church in Worthing? Anyway, around 1992, was it you took over from Hugh, Eric? Yes. And we've already heard about Eric and his gifts as an evangelist. All sorts of activities occurred in the church. There was still a thriving youth work and mums and toddlers and children's work. And soon there was a steady trickle of new Christians coming to the church and baptisms. And the church continued to grow. And eventually, as we've heard, it outgrew the previous building. And it's natural that we take this building for granted because we just do. That's human. But at the time, it was an enormous step of faith for a still fairly small congregation, not particularly wealthy, to raise all that money. But by the grace of God, this is the building we have today. And it was opened 30 years ago.
So I'm going to continue the story. Andy Hickford's arrival coincided with our youngest daughter starting school, which meant that I had a bit of time to get stuck in. So building on Eric's strong sense of local community, we undertook a community survey, some of you will remember. We partnered with St. Richard's Anglican Church for that, and that enabled us to launch additional community projects. What surprised us at the time was that the church then thought the greatest need for the area was for the needs of young people. The survey revealed that actually there was hidden loneliness, particularly among the elderly and particularly amongst those with mental health problems. So those results meant that we started various projects to try and meet those needs. And we shared our faith through words, through deeds, through prayer. And there was an increased interest in the gospel, therefore, from the local community. And you'll be aware, if you're part of this church now, that there's still that very strong sense of serving the community here. When this church was being built, we worshipped off-site at John Selden School, which is now Field Place. And I found it very interesting that we grew then, and I got the sense at the time that people felt that there was that they were too scared to come into a church building, but they were quite comfortable coming to a school. So that was an interesting growth thing. But in 2004, we again worshipped off-site when the back half was built. This time we worshipped at Field Place. And again, I felt this was another step of faith that we as a church did and that God honoured. Later again, it was another step of faith that enabled us to move our main service to Chatsmore High School, now Oscar Romero, for a season. And it was yet another step of faith for us to move our services back here. So when I look back, I see a story of active faith, of God's people stepping out in faith. And then in summary, my view looking back 30 years is that there's been always new Christians, and that's always exciting, including very recently here, just in the last couple of weeks. I look around the room and I remember people, incredible people, who use their gifts, their energy, their passions in all sorts of ways. I look back and I see that we have a good reputation in the area. And sometimes people still come to the building because of that reputation, and I'm grateful to God for that. I see community engagement breaking down barriers, and that continues to do so. And I also see churches working together. Some of you are still involved with what was called the Worthing Churches Homeless Project, now is Turning Tides. That was a Churches Together initiative. Some of you were involved in Street Pastors, that was another one, and I now have the privilege of working with other churches on Worthing for Refugees. So it's been a privilege to be part of this church family. We also have been very supported through bad and good times, and we're just so grateful to you all for showing us who God is and continuing to challenge us and help us to be Jesus-focused. Thank you. Shall we just pray and give thanks again to God for his faithfulness? Father, you are so very faithful. And it's just wonderful when we do look back to see the imprint of your faithfulness through many different people, through your provision, through your gifts. And we're a deeply grateful people. And we're excited too, because we know you're still at work. And we look forward to a future, again, full of your faithfulness, your goodness. Thank you, Lord. We're just grateful. Amen.
Amen.
So it's quite nice how this evening has fallen. I'd like to invite Hilary and Peter up to the front. Now, you may know, you may have been there. These guys got married a few months ago. And it was one, I can honestly say, right, I know I did the service. It's one of the best weddings I've ever been to. It was wonderful. And I've been to over 6 weddings. No. I've been to loads of weddings. It was brilliant. And at the time, you were sort of working out what the future held in terms of where you would live, and we didn't know if you'd be here or part here, and things have developed somewhat. But also, Hilary has been part of Maybridge for a really long time, so it's kind of an appropriate evening to hear some of the past, but also for you to sort of share where the future is for you guys as well, if that's okay. So I'm just going to hand over to you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Gosh, it's just so lovely seeing lots of lovely familiar faces and people from the past. And I wrote something down, and apparently you're in the way, Matt. but actually, I'm just going to say, I'm not sure what I'm going to say. I first came to Maybridge with Ron and Daphne, actually, in 1987. So that, by my calculation, that's 37 years ago. So I was very, very young. It's been an absolute privilege to be part of Maybridge Community Church. And I am very, very grateful that it's been a place where I've been able to grow. I've been discipled. I have enjoyed taking part. I should have just read what I've written, shouldn't I? It's just been amazing. I'm very sad that we are actually moving on. But actually, to take what Andy said, the verse, "Forget the former things, I am doing a new thing," was a verse that I felt very strongly last year. And when Peter and I decided to make our home in Grayswood, near Hazelmere, once we got married, I knew that we would be saying goodbye to Maybridge. But, well, not goodbye, but we're moving on to something new. But I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone at Maybridge. It's been a privilege to be able to journey with people here. And I don't think I've done a very good job of that. Actually, and I will be really sad. I will really miss. I've made really deep friendships here. And I can see lots of you here, and I am really going to miss you. But we're only 50 minutes, so if you ever want to come and visit, please do come. The other thing I was going to say is that we felt very strongly that God was calling us to be part of our new community. And it kind of feels fitting with what's been said already as well, because Maybridge Community Church, and it's such a big influence in this community. And so we're actually going to an Anglican church at the moment, which is interesting and challenging. We've met some really lovely people, very, very friendly, but we've very strongly felt that God was calling us to get to know our neighbours, and it felt wrong to actually get in the car and drive past our local church to go to another church. So for this season, we are going to get involved with Maybridge. No, we're not. Graysbridge. Sorry.
Yeah.
Aww. Did you want to say anything?
Okay. Perhaps I could just say a few words. First of all, as Matt said, Hillary and I were married on that spot there on the 4th of May. And so this building will always be very special for me, but much more the community that gather here. Because from the day I arrived, you made me feel incredibly welcome and loved. And I know that's a reflection of your love for Hillary, but I felt it and I was so very grateful. So thank you. And as Hillary has said, it's not really goodbye, because we are all part of God's family. And I know that you will always be special for us, and we will come back. It's only a short drive away, but thank you.
Thank you both. And Hillary, it's not just what you benefited from this church, but you benefited many of us too. So do know that. Thank you. Phil was just going to share some messages from people who can't be here this evening. This does feel like a wedding, doesn't it? We cut a cake, and we're going to hear some messages from people who can't make it this evening. So over to you, Phil.
Thank you very much. So here's a few messages from people that have texted. So Linda Baker, she recalls playing various roles in the Nativity play and other plays written by Bob Bond. Her first memory of Maybridge Church is going to Sunday school in the old building where Miss Austin was a Sunday school teacher who rode a three-wheeled trike as she had a leg brace because of polio. And Linda remembers singing the song, "Jesus makes us shine like a pure, clear light." And she says she has always held on to those words, as Maybridge has been a light shining over the Maybridge estate for 70 years. John Barnes recalls coming home late one evening to find Eric, a policeman and a police car with flashing lights, a large compressor for a pneumatic drill, and his wife Janet standing outside their house. It turns out that Eric had spotted some thieves stealing the compressor from a trailer outside a neighbour's house in Burlington Road. Eric went out to confront the thieves as they pulled the compressor down the road into the Strand, with Eric running after them, telling them to stop and threatening them with the police. And for some reason, the thieves gave up outside the Barnes' house and they disappeared off into the Maybridge estate. John says, "I admire Eric's bravery, but wondered whether he had threatened them with the wrath of God or forgiveness if they actually gave up their stolen goods." I've got a message from Australia now. It says, "Dear Maybridge Church family, happy 70th birthday from Pam Muir, or Morley, as many of you will have known her. She's sending love and congratulations from Perth, Western Australia. I am so privileged to have been part of Maybridge from 1994 to 2020. Maybridge family, Maybridge teaching, and our Lord Jesus, through Maybridge, in other words, has sustained me, encouraged me, walked alongside me, prayed with me and for me, cried with me, laughed with me through all those years, and continues to be Christ in my life. Even now, I have been able to build a life in my home country, Australia. Thank you, Maybridge. I miss you, but I know we will meet again when I visit and when we all go to meet our Maker. May God continue to bless Maybridge as a beacon of hope in your local community and to the wider Worthing community. Yours in Christ, Pam." And I'll end with a tribute to Don Payne, whose funeral was here last Friday. Don was part of this church for decades. He was on the setup team, preaching team. He was the stand-in piano player when Beryl Hayden was on holiday. He was involved in kids' club at every prayer meeting. Even when there wasn't a prayer meeting, he still turned up at it. He ran a partnership group and was a taxi driver to those that needed a lift. He was that person that made dull church meetings anything but dull, usually standing up to ask a difficult question that everybody was thinking but afraid to ask. I'm slightly worried that Rich from the Tab is here as I tell this story, but one such occasion was when there was a difficult church meeting and we were deciding whether we should leave the FIEC, which Maybridge had been part of for many years. And after a difficult meeting, there seemed to be a consensus that, sad though it was, leaving the FIEC was the right thing to do. However, we forgot one thing. Don had yet to speak. As Don got up from his chair, everyone could see the blood draining from Andy Hickford's face as he wondered what on earth was going to be said. And Don said these words, "I have been part of this church for decades, and can I remind Mr. Hickford that without the Worthing Tabernacle, which is part of the FIEC, this church may not have survived. Not only that, but I still go to the Tabernacle every Sunday evening. Are you expecting me to vote in favour of Maybridge leaving the FIEC after all that history? Well, the answer is, yes, I fully support Maybridge leaving the FIEC for the being stated."
Thanks, Phil. I wanted, we're sort of in the last part of this evening, to just hear from different people from different sort of parts of Maybridge's history coming right up to the present. And so I'm just going to invite each one at a time to come up. And in some cases, I think they're just going to talk. Some cases, I'm going to interview them. Yeah, just be really enthusiastic and make lots of noise for each person as they come up and support them. That would be lovely. First one is Leona. So reaching back into the distant mists of time when you joined Maybridge, tell us all about it and tell us what God has done with you here.
Oh, crumbs. Where do I start? I'm from 1987 as well. Back in the day, I used to cycle past the old hut that was here. It had red doors then. It was at the time when I was a lodger with James Collier's mum and dad. If you want to know what he was like as a kid, ask me later. Yeah, I can give you all the goss. I've even got photos, actually. Yes. One of the things I think about standing up here is it's always a bit scary, even though you're amongst friends. And I always remember, whenever I stood up at the front, is to know where Ron Whalen was sitting, because he would have his sole focus and concentration on you, and everything you said, he would be nodding and agreeing with. And if you were nervous, you just talked to Ron, and he kind of got you through. So, you know, tonight without Ron is a sad occasion, and he would downplay his role as he did with anything in what he did. I haven't prepared what I'm going to say this evening, so I might get shot later. So I'll write my own epitaph. I told you I had a bad sense of humour. Yeah. I think when I first came to Maybridge in 1987, I was single and I was a youth worker. And funnily enough, I'm that again today. So, but in that meantime, I've had a marriage, I've lost a marriage, I've had a daughter who's grown up and left home, and I've worked with mums and toddlers. I've worked with a Bible study group for mums. After the toddler group, I've helped lead a person-to-person evangelism course. This is going back in the early days. They're the easier ones to remember. It's what I did yesterday that's the problem. yeah, I've been part of Alpha. I'm trying to think, right, come on, shout it out, you're all those that remember what I've done, because I can't at the moment. But yeah, I've been involved in many different areas of church life. Photography has been probably one of the big areas, and photography was always my passion, and actually going through the photos this week has been really, you can't look forward without looking back. It's like you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. Because my journey in 37 years as Hillary, I'm glad she did the maths, because I'm on the artist spectrum. I don't do the maths. So, you know, I've been in the absolute pits. You know, in 2017, I'd lost my job in a really bad way. I had a heart attack. Then my marriage broke down and I was absolutely destroyed. And it was Maybridge and being part of Maybridge that brought me back, because the people of Maybridge just surrounded me. And even in the years, I remember Andy preaching and saying that you're not a terrorist overnight, because you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, I'll go and bomb something today. That terrorism thing is something that happens over years. And even in my reflection, I had those years running up to all those things happening where I was just on the slide away from God. And I've had my moments where I wanted to leave church, but God has never let me go from here. So you stuck with me for a bit longer. But yes, Maybridge, the people at Maybridge, the care, the community, the being involved. I love being with the young people because it makes me feel like I'm one of them. That I can run almost as fast. Hey, and I did the leap of faith at PGL. Just to get that one in. Yeah, and merch is available at the back, and a date for your diaries. Yeah. Date for your diaries. This time in 5 years, we'll do the 75th and we'll get the rest of the photos up.
Thank you, Leona. And just to say, a lot of the photos you've seen this evening are because Leona has taken them, collated them, put them all together. She's become unofficially the church archivist, I think. So thank you to her for that particularly as well. Karen, where are you? Make some noise for Karen too, please. So... talk to us.
Talk to you. You're right, this is scary. Just a little bit of background. I became a Christian at 13, but I became a Christian because Margaret Jenkins, who was in one of those photos, was the best person I knew that I wanted to be my mum. My home life was crap. And I found in Margaret and Ron a couple that loved me. So we went on camp and I became a Christian because that's what I thought they wanted me to do. Roll on a few years, I left God a bit. And then Gay turned up at my house through a friend and invited me to take a break. And I had two young children. I had a partner, wasn't married, had three children out of wedlock. My youngest was literally about 6 weeks, I think Aidan was. And Gay turned up through a friend and said, would you like to come to take a break? And I lived in Worthing. We eventually got a house share, a house swap up to here, and I started to come along. And that's when I met Eric. And Kay and Judy Keane and Kay were up on there. And Eric was doing a Bible study in Kay's house. And I was looking after the children, because that's what I'm good at, is looking after things and not getting involved, which is why you'll usually find me in the kitchen when there's anything on me to do with Aspire, because I can do that. And I remember being in that room, Eric. It's something I've never forgotten. And you were sitting at her table and you were doing this Bible study. And they asked me to come and sit at the table, and I went, no. I have committed a sin that is in such a way that when I die and get to the doors, God's going to go, do you know what? Not you. And I'd held on to that through my own sin because of some of the things I'd done. And as far as I was concerned, my family weren't Christian. My mom was very much, yeah, we've all done that. So I had no family. My husband now, who is now my husband, wasn't a Christian. I have no Christian background. I have no one in my family that is a Christian. And Eric turned around and said to me, under no circumstances will God ever turn you away. And I remember going home and breaking completely. And I started going to those Bible studies. So, Eric, you were a lifesaver for me because you just preached what God was trying to say. From that, I started doing Take a Break. When Andy came along and Keris came along, we took over Take a Break. Oh, my word, we had some times. They were brilliant. And I can remember, do you remember the toys all used to be under here? Oh, my word, we used to have to get the toys out from under there. But put them back carefully because we weren't allowed to scrape the paint. So we had that. And when I've been thinking about coming up here, I've actually done quite a lot. I've done Paradigm, Take a Break, youth groups, prayer groups. We used to do a Friday prayer here with a community walk, do you remember? And I used to bring my children in here because they were young and I wouldn't walk it, but I'd pray here while you and Julie would be walking. But I think for me, the most important thing is I remember Daphne, I remember Winnie, I remember those women that were prayer warriors. And they would pray for me because there were a couple of times I used to come up here and say a few things. And like my hand is shaking now, my whole body would shake. And I remember Winnie actually praying for me and giving me a word one day. And that meant so much. And I'm reaching that point now where I want to give that back because we are a church of prayer and we need to be a church of prayer. My walk with God through being here has become a living walk. God isn't just someone that is just a word. God for me is alive, and that's because of you lot. That's because of where we've been. I am who I am through my family here because you are my family through all of it, and I just want to say thank you. But we do need to carry on, and as we get older, and yeah, I am getting a bit older, we need to step up and just take the place of those wonderful people that are here, Ron, Daphne, Winnie. Oh, there were so many names, and I was going, I remember them. Oh, my word, I remember them. It's time for us to move on, to stand up, to be counted, to pray, because then the young people that are coming in, and I come to the six, and you inspire me with the baptisms we've had, the ones that have had over the last couple of months. You are an inspiration to me, so you are an inspiration to others. So I want to give back to this church so you can carry on being who you are. So I just want to say a big thank you to all of you. I have got lifelong friends. Yes, my best friend has decided to go. But my word, that is an answer to prayer. We have been praying for Peter for how many years, everyone? Oh, my word. We needed you to come along. So thank you.
And Karen says she doesn't like public speaking. So I'm going to talk to you about joining the preaching team. Did you hear all that? Moving a little close to the present, in terms of Maybridge history, Matt, do you want to come and join me? Now, as it's happened, Matt was actually preaching on Sunday, so many of us will have heard some really amazing stuff about his testimony then. But ages ago, I asked him to be here this evening and just share about how the church has impacted him over the years. So over to you.
Your memory of that conversation of saying that I would come and share something is very different to mine, but very different. So I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to look back at something. And a year after I joined Maybridge, I was asked to write a story for the website. And that's how often it's updated. It's still there. That was 5.5 years ago. Communication is spot on here. And what I wrote, my first line was that, was walking into church as a non-Christian was for me one of the scariest moments of my life. Well, of course it was. It was full of Christians. It was absolutely scary as a person for someone who's never set foot in a church, never really had a Christian relationship, to walk into a room expecting to be judged every step you take. It was so, so scary. But then I looked around and I saw people. And I shared on Sunday who those people were. I saw the football coach who hugged me and said, Jesus loves you, when I cut my own arm. I saw the GP who gave me the medication that I so desperately wanted and nobody else would give me. That led me to recovery from depression. I saw the high school friend who prayed with me and said, take this lie away from him that he thinks he's unlovable. That was Maybridge. I might not have been here long. I've been here 6.5 years. But what I can say is that in this room are people who've shown me love through the redirection of my gaze towards Jesus when I turn my back to him. Those steps that I took further away from Jesus, I was taken by the hand by some of the people standing in here to back towards him through prayer, through scripture, and even Jason making me cry on the phone. He's not that sorry. Do you know, my relationship with Jesus can only be given to the people that I've taken as models for those who call themselves Christians. You're sitting right here, those people who prefer others, those people who put Jesus at the center of their lives. The only way I would know that is by looking at those in front of me who demonstrated that so fantastically well. We all get things wrong, but I must admit, when I first started coming to Maybridge and I was at Alpha and I was coming to the services, I did sit there and go, does John Last or Pat Tumba ever sin? After a conversation with Margaret, from baptism to engagement to marriage right here, to attendee in the congregation, to a greedy eater at Alpha, to someone, and I don't know how, has been given a microphone on a Sunday to teach the word of God. What's that all about? But you know why? It's because of Jesus. And it's because you guys answer the call from Jesus. As I said on Sunday, yes, I'm reminding you of the preach on Sunday and the homework. I've seen so many Ananias-like acts over the years. And I know more Ananias-like acts will continue from today. When I first walked into Chatsmore, 6 and a bit years ago, I was a lost boy. I'm now a child of God. I've not agreed with you all the time, but I've never not felt loved because of the stalwart focus on Jesus being at the center in this church. Glory to God. Praise be to Jesus.
I love hearing these stories that just through the years, it's people impacting people, often doing down-to-earth things that aren't broadcast, but are incredibly influential in other people's lives. And one thing that's wonderful is we're seeing people make commitments of faith here. We're seeing people get baptized, young people, older people, everything in between in recent years. And it's just brilliant, isn't it? Every time we have a baptism service, it's a wonderful sort of marquee moment. One of my favourite times in the last few years is actually has been seeing Ollie come to faith and get baptised. Ollie, if you'd like to join me. And some of you will have heard his story, some of you won't, but this brings things right up to the present. You know, it was last year you became a Christian, right?
This year?
Yeah, this year? Yeah. Well, over to you. You know what you're talking about better than me, so tell us about yourself and your part of me.
Evening, everyone. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Ollie Bailey, and it's a real privilege to tell you my story tonight and what Maybridge means to me. I can tell you the exact time, place, and moment I became a Christian. It was at 6 a.m. on the 19th of June last year. I was walking to work, praying and thanking the Lord for saying that I knew he was real and promising to give my life to Jesus. And as I made this exact promise, I felt the Holy Spirit magnets. I felt the Holy Spirit fill me. The fire was ignited within, and I just felt loved. As the tears poured down my cheeks, I stopped and held on to a tree for good measure. It was that moment that my life changed forever, and it led me to God. Now, I've had quite a journey to reach this point, and being conscious of time, I'm going to retell this story briefly. My path to Christianity starts and ends with a little black and white cat named Lily. She is my best friend, and when I first got her 2 years ago, I was the trainer by walking around Brooklands Park in Lansing near where I lived. In May of 2023, we moved to a bigger flat just around the corner from Maybridge. 2 weeks later, I decided to take Lily back for a walk at Brooklands. This time, though, scared by a coffee truck, she escaped her harness and ran into some long grass and disappeared. My whole world turned upside down, and I was absolutely devastated. Through a mix of guilt, panic, and desperation, I spent every waking hour looking for her. And by the following Thursday, I was sleeping in a tent in my old garden, up every hour looking for her. We even landed ourselves in the local papers. But for the next 2 weeks, in between work and looking for Lily, I decided to come here to Maybridge. I was at my wit's end and trying to find her and found myself turning to prayer. Church wasn't a thing for me. I was an atheist for years, a stretch agnostic. So the decision to walk through these doors was completely out of character. I was welcomed, however, with a warm handshake and a coffee. It is here a mustard seed of hope was planted and the beginnings of my faith was sprouted. On the 15th of June last year, I was walking home from work, praying for Lily again. I turned the corner on the Maybridge estate, and suddenly it was like the volume was turned down a notch or two, and I heard God speak to me. He asked me to continue down my path to church and work towards a baptism. If I kept my promise, Lily would be back in 24 hours, to which I agreed. Then everything went back to normal. I carried on working, not truly understanding what had happened. The next evening, whilst out looking for Lily, I found her. God had come through for us and reunited us as promised. 4 days later was the day I gave my life to Jesus, tears running down my cheeks, filled with the Holy Spirit, dedicating my life to the Lord, not knowing a thing about Christianity. Now, I've got ADHD and I am being tested for autism. I make no secret of it. This is a hand God dealt me. He's wired me a little differently from most people. The downside is I suffer from crippling social anxiety. Sometimes the hardest part of a journey is taking the first steps out the door. I felt like I had a mountain to climb, an ocean of discovery in front of me, and this wall of crippling shyness to break through. In those first few months of coming to Maybridge Community Church, I used to hide around the corner before church each Sunday, trying to control a panic attack. When I made it through the door, I'd hide at the back, hoping I wouldn't have to interact with anyone. And as soon as church was over, I put my chair away and ran out the door. But I kept coming back. I knew I'd encountered the one true God. And the more of his teachings I uncovered, the more thirsty for knowledge I became. I remember saying to myself every Sunday evening, "You have to go. This is God's plan." So out the door I went, fighting my anxiety each time. The more I went, the less anxious I became. I signed up to Alpha in September 2023. I went along that first night, struggling to control my nerves. I was shy, but as the weeks went on, I began to understand my fears were unfounded. Alpha helped me learn more about faith and Jesus. My questions were answered, and I was welcomed. It was then I began to realise that I have a voice, I have a story, and I have the love and protection of the Lord Almighty. So if you want to know what God, through Maybridge, has done for me, it's this. It's given me a voice. It's given me confidence and skills I never knew I had. And Maybridge means everything to me. This is my safe space and my refuge. And I can't find the words to thank everyone enough in this church. You really have given me a voice again. Through patient guidance, friendship and love, Maybridge has helped me overcome social barriers and walls I thought I would never break. By being introduced to the teachings of Christ, I found a peace I never knew I had, I'll be given a platform to speak, to learn and discuss new ideas, but above all else, I found a second family. A year after encountering Jesus and the Holy Spirit, my life has done a complete 180. But most importantly, almost a year to a day, I kept my promise to the Lord and was baptised on the 9th of June this year on what will turn out to be the best night of my life. In August, with the help of Piero, we hosted Watching Through Season 1 of The Chosen at Maybridge. I was passionate about sharing with others this brilliant resource that I found so helpful in my own faith journey. But there I was, once again, out of my comfort zone, a bit like right now, front and centre, speaking in front of a bunch of people, something I never would have done before Jesus came into my life. Since October, I've been helping Alpha out to Alpha on a Thursday night, along with Piero, Pat, Lee and Manelli, where I'm doing my best to welcome others who are exploring and sharing my story and help others to come to know Jesus. I've become part of the tech team in the evenings. I'm enjoying serving the church this way, and last month I became a partner, and I'm so happy to call Maybridge Community Church my home. Shameless plug, on the 18th of December, myself and Pierre are going to be hosting the Chosen Christmas special here at Maybridge. So please come along, bring your friends, family and your partnership group, and you can find out more on the Maybridge Christmas website. So, so happy 70th anniversary, Maybridge, and thank you all for being part of my story.
Thanks so much, Ollie, and like with everybody else's story, you impact us positively as much as you think that we impact you. That's what it's about. I'm aware of time, but we should have a slide of some prayer points on the screen. There we go, if everyone can read those. Just take 2 minutes, turn to the person next to you, and just pray in response to these just very simple points on the screen. Thank God for those who've become Christians here at Maybridge. Thank God for those who've been sent on from here to do his work in other places. Thank God for work that he has done in our community over the years, and any particular thing or person you think of, just pray for them too. But as I said, 2 minutes just with the person next to you.
Oh,
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Sing holy, holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. I sing holy, holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside.
We've heard from a number of people this evening, bringing us up to the present day. What will God do through Maybridge in the future? We don't know. We know that our part is to continue to trust Him, to make disciples, and to do what we do in light of the bigger story of God's unfolding redemptive plan for history. Everything we've heard tonight has been really great, but one thing it's supposed to do is serve as fuel to help us write the next part of the story. There are lots more stories to be told in the years ahead. How are you going to be part of it? Let me pray as we close this evening. It's been wonderful to be with you tonight, but let me pray. Father God, as we leave this place, after 70 years of this church this evening, I pray we'd be inspired by what we hear to continue with you, to persevere, to fight the good fight, to run the race, to invest in people, to serve. And in this, we acknowledge Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, that in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, that all things have been created through him and for him, that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, that he is the head of the body, the church, he is the beginning and firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he has the supremacy. That God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And in light of that, we commit ourselves again to following Jesus, making him known, and doing so in partnership with the rest of his people. Amen.